Would you feel safe having your devices on your home network also connected to the internet? Do you feel that you'll have the neighborhood kids just for a lark will play with your lights in rapid succession?
I'd love it if the neighborhood kids were sophisticated enough to play with my lights in rapid succession.
What about the MIT kids?
Yeah, they might be a little more worried about, or the German hackers, or you know, whoever people are paranoid about today. I'm not that worried about it. I'm not a big... I think security is important, but I'm not a big security person. I think security and privacy considerations are really important to deal with a global internet where you want to be able to do things like electronics funds transactions across it and things like that. Certainly, that needs to be very secure. And certainly, I don't want people to be able to open my front door or to be able to activate a video camera in my bedroom or something like that and be able to do that across the internet. I think that the security mechanisms in SNMP, even version 1, if they're followed, you know, using community strings or whatever, I can set up community strings that nobody's probably going to guess. And nobody's going to be able to eavesdrop on the packets that are going back and forth on my network in my house without some pretty sophisticated technology or without gaining access to the grounds. In that case, unless the NSA decides they want to control my toaster, I'm really not too worried about it. And especially with SNMP v2, with the parties and the heavy-duty authentication that's in there, I think I'd feel pretty safe about it and feel that it was pretty secure.
And you feel secure with your other protocols, things like electronic mail? You get an adequate level of security out of those, or do you want privacy-enhanced mail?
Actually, I'm not too happy with the level of security there. I really would like to have privacy-enhanced mail. I think that a lot of users on the Internet are pretty ignorant of the privacy implications of the net. I suspect a lot of people don't realize how easy it is to find out the membership of mailing lists, and probably a lot of people who would be pretty freaked out if they knew that others could find out how easily they are on certain mailing lists. I don't like the fact that email travels the net in the clear. I especially don't like the fact that FTP control connections and telnet connections travel the net in the clear. You know, I'm not really very comfortable in the mailroom typing my password to log into my home system. I change my password before I come here, and I will change it when I get back. I will not log in as root across that. Anybody who logs in as root on their office systems or home systems from interop has got to be crazy. You know, there are people who are monitoring the net there, and it's intentional. I mean, it's a good thing to be monitoring the net there. They're demoing products and things like that. You've got to expect that. And I think that the level of security that's available there is pretty poor right now, and it really needs to be dealt with. One thing that I think that people confuse a lot is authentication and privacy. I'm pretty satisfied with password protection on my Unix account on my machine at home, but I'm not satisfied with the fact that everything that I type goes across the net in the clear, and anybody who's monitoring the links can see it. I'd be very happy if that data stream were encrypted. And that is one level of privacy there that's completely unassociated with authentication. And if that were done, and there are mechanisms that are understood today to do that, Diffie-Hellman Key Exchange could provide that. In Diffie-Hellman Key Exchange, what you do is both sides compute some random numbers, and they send parts of them over the TCP connection. Say in this case TCP connection, and but they send enough. I cannot profess to understand how this algorithm works, but I understand that it do works. I've been told by people I trust extremely.
Well, that's a security feature there.
Yeah, one of the problems with security is it all comes down to trust. At some point, you've got to trust somebody, and if they lie to you, you're in trouble. But the way this works is you compute these two sets of numbers, and then you send parts of them over the connection. And it turns out that both sides can then construct enough of the numbers to encrypt and decrypt the data stream. But an eavesdropper who can see everything going across the connection does not have enough information to do that. So then without having to do any... The good thing here is you don't have to do a full key exchange in the clear. You don't have to have keys prearranged. And you don't have to rendezvous at some sort of key server. So now two processes who don't know anything about one another can have a secure, or rather private, TCP connection that cannot be eavesdropped upon. And that's something, that's a technology that I think is very important, and I really wish that was there today.
Well, do you think the RSA-based technology is what we should be using in the Internet then? That's certainly the basis for privacy-enhanced mail.
Right. I think that there are a lot of issues involved in that. It's not just technical, unfortunately. There are political issues. There are issues with export controls. RSA actually isn't covered by patent in Europe. And but however, we're not allowed to export it without specific export licenses from various government agencies. And that's fairly ridiculous because you can actually pick it up for free, code that implements it anywhere off the net. It's difficult. I think the IETF, for instance, would be in a very difficult position if it has to go and say, you know, we want to standardize on this encryption algorithm, but you're going to have to license it from this company and pay them a fee. That's a horrible position to be in, and it may be a position that we end up having to be in. There's a lot of people who feel that software patents are invalid. However, that's not upheld in courts of law yet. Maybe someday that will become an issue. The PGP, for instance, is a package called Pretty Good Privacy. It implements RSA encryption algorithms. RSA says that this violates their patent. A lot of other people say it doesn't, or that the patent is invalid because it's a patent on an algorithm and not an implementation. This is a really messy issue. The latest versions of PGP have actually been distributed from overseas and come into the U.S. So technically, it's illegal to distribute them from the U.S. to the outside world. There have been implementations of DES, which have done likewise. They've been distributed around the world, and they've come into the U.S. But all this sort of code is all available for anonymous FTP all over the world inside the U.S. as it is. Anybody who thinks that they can control it by just putting export restrictions on it is being foolish, because it's, you know, it's a genie that's already out of the bottle. You can buy an issue of Scientific American that describes the algorithms. You know, just do a little bit of coding, and it may take you a while to verify that you actually coded it correctly, but you've got it. You know, and export controls, all export controls there are going to do, this is my export control flame, all export controls are going to do is prevent people who want to obey the law from using this technology to protect themselves. And anybody who doesn't care about the law already is going to use the technology whether or not it's legal. Yeah, and that's not going to protect anybody.
Pretty Good Privacy is simpler than the privacy enhanced mail, and mm-hmm. as a result can be implemented on brain dead operating systems like DOS. Do you think that the IETF and the Internet Architecture Board has been trying to have too much security, and as a result we haven't had very much at all?
I'm not sure. I haven't been involved with the security working groups in the IETF. I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand. They've been working on these issues for years. Kerberos, for instance, from MIT, has existed for years now. And I don't understand why the IETF hasn't got some solutions to security and privacy problems that are standardized now, even if they're just interim things. You know, I realize that it's very difficult to come up with an architecture that's going to last for quite a few years, going through unknown technology changes that are going to happen. You know, who knows what's going to come out in silicon next year that's going to completely stand the world on its head, and we're going to say, oh, we never anticipated that. I guess we're going to just have to throw this out and start over. And also that's going to be able to deal with an Internet that's growing so rapidly that every time somebody guesses how fast it's growing, next month they find out they were wrong. You know, I realize it's very difficult to come up with architectures and standards that can work in that sort of environment. It's like you don't get the chance to do research. You're developing in a production environment, and you're months behind the moment you start in the way the Internet is working today. But I don't understand why we don't have some sort of interim mechanisms for doing this. And if the IETF can't come up with something at least to provide us with privacy, with better privacy on the systems, then I think you'll see a lot more people doing things. And PGP is an ad hoc effort. It's people out on the net who are not involved with the IETF, who aren't involved with any standards organizations, who certainly aren't involved with RSA, because RSA is very unhappy with them since they feel their patent's been violated.
They're explicitly uninvolved.
Yes, right, and unlikely to ever be involved in a good way anyway. And they're very concerned about this, you know, and they've gone out and they've done things like PGP, and they've made them available to the world. And a lot of people are using PGP, and a lot of people are using privacy-enhanced mail, and I guess there's PEM and there's RIPEM, and I have not gone and actually used PEM or RIPEM. I've played with PGP a few times, and it is one thing that it is rather nice in that you can, there are people who run it on Macintoshes, on PCs, on Unix. It's been written to be fairly portable. That's pretty important. You know, to design something like that from the start, such that it works on multi-user on a variety of platforms, rather not multi-user systems per se, but on a variety of platforms. That's pretty important. Figuring out how to plug something like that into your mail system can be a pretty substantial pain, because there are so many different mail systems out there, and so many different mail user interfaces, so many different mailers. That's kind of a problem. There's another problem involved in that, I think, is public perception. And there are, I'm kind of worried about what the non-computer hacker, and I use hacker in the good sense, not the cracker sense there, what the non-computer hacker population of the U.S. thinks about cryptography. And, you know, I'm kind of afraid that we're in a situation where what they hear is things like child molesters writing records about the crimes they've committed and then encrypting them so that the FBI cannot break that and can't get access to it, about criminals, you know, encrypting data that they're using, encrypting records of various criminal transactions. And I'm afraid that what the public hears about is this sort of stuff and not all the ways that it's important that the privacy technology can help them. I'm afraid they only hear about the bad side of privacy technology.
You're listening to Geek of the Week. Support for this program is provided by Sun Microsystems. Sun Microsystems, open systems for open minds. Additional support for Geek of the Week comes from O'Reilly & Associates, publishers of books that help people get more out of computers.